Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it's another great night here at www.blogtalkradio.com with Speak On It Radio. This your boy live once again, Lauder Hill Legend here at 8 p.m. on Thursday nights here with my co-host Celebration. Celebration, say what's up to the people.
What's happening, everybody?
Right, right.
What is happening?
All right, we back on. Cordell will be here very soon.
Shortly.
He's working out the last minute details of his contract, so he will be here. He was holding out for a couple of more appetizers at Papa Do's. If any of y'all listened last week, y'all know where the Papa Do's restaurant comes from. But we're going
to
talk about a few things tonight. Once again, we're back on to have a ball. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl. We're going to talk about the Gillespie Jinx. That's me, the Gillespie Jinx. Facebook for all of 2017, and the Gillespie Jinx is over in 2018.
It has been lifted.
We're going to talk about the 2018 NFL Hall of Fame class. Also, in the NFL, we got a quarterback that's not a highest paid player ever in the NFL. And also the biggest news in South Florida. Can I get some applause after this one? Because this shit just made me smile from ear to ear. Dwayne Wade
Come
is
on,
back,
producer.
Baby. That's
Come
right.
On,
D-Wade
Come on,
is back.
That's long.
D-Wade. But
Come
D-Wade
on,
is
baby.
Back. That's right, but D-Wade is back in Miami, but I don't care if he's 36. I don't care if he's 46. D-Wade is the man, and he always will be the man. So that's what we're going
right.
to talk about tonight. And everybody, please, you know, sit back, relax, enjoy yourself. You ain't got nothing else to do on this Thursday night but sit up
Show
here and listen.
Don't.
I mean, this ain't sports dogs radio. We ain't
oh.
like that. We like a... All
Shut
right,
up.
This is real radio. This is real. We might talk about everything from high school football to Nicki Minaj on this show. You don't never know where it's going. So sit back, enjoy yourself. Why don't we just let the band deal with this one? We're gonna let the band deal with this one while we go into the queue. So everybody, just give us a minute. We'll be right back.
One time for Trick Daddy.
Let the band deal.
I'm telling you, that's right. Let the band deal.
In my 8,000. Old school. Okay. Shut up. Okay. What's up? Shut up. Okay. What's up? Okay. Shut up. Okay. They what's up? Shut up. Okay. What's up? Right around in my brand new 99 Foto and Volvo. I got a pocket full of beans. So we ain't got no place to go, though. But all my boys and boys, they know, though. That's for sure, though.
Are those
bigger
white jeans you're wearing?
Hell nah, ho, you know they polos. I've been used again, accused again. Did it time been rolling top of something done by one of my using friends. Soon as they seen the bands, hit the season was in. Hell, cause they feeling me, but I understand and they reason being. But I'm the man for this. While y'all was doing fine, I was doing time just praying for this. Locked up, make a plan for this. Without all that fancy shit, way too advanced for this. Got polo socks, tank tops, and drawers up under my pants and shit.
right, everybody. We back and we live on the line. We're just going to do a quick Super Bowl review. Super Bowl 52 was last Sunday. It was the Patriots versus the Eagles. It was a hell of a game, if I must say that. It was basically the Tom Brady coming out party. You know, everybody. And let me be very careful in my words in this, but everybody seems to think that Tom Brady is like the savior of the NFL. Or the darling.
He's
the
what?
NFL.
Guardian angel of the NFL.
I don't know. A lot of people seem to think that. And let me be very clear on this first. He is an amazing quarterback. All right. Probably the second or third best quarterback to ever play the game. All right. And I mean, that's just a lot of people quick to put him at number one. But I mean, I personally like Joe Montana and Dan Marino. I'm an 80s baby. So I'm going to say that. But Tom Brady is an amazing quarterback. Let's keep it real. All right. But guess what?
Okay.
Tom Brady lost. You know,
the show did.
He lost. And my man that beat him, he got beat by a backup.
Oh,
that guy was a backup.
Replacement.
Yeah. Flores is a backup quarterback.
Okay.
Oh Lord. Yeah. Flores is a backup quarterback and that's who beat him. So, you know, with that being said, anybody on any given Sunday can get beat. And that's what happened, in my opinion, with Tom Brady. Now, was Tom Brady amazing in the game? Yes, he was. He was beyond the man. He had over 500 yards passing. But he couldn't do it when he counted. When he got the big sack on him, it was due to no mobility. And he had one play where he couldn't catch the ball. He just looked like a fish out of water at that point. So,
well, I tell you what, I'm glad you watched it because I said I was boycotting the NFL this season, and I meant that. I watched a couple little frames of the game, and I definitely didn't partake of the halftime show. So, congratulations, Philly. But, yeah, we're glad that Philly won. I'm glad Tom didn't take home nothing but a deflated ego, not a ball.
Well, I'm hearing that Brady had the audacity to say that the sack on him was the only real play that the Eagles made. He pretty much demolished them the whole night. I mean, you know, and you know what? That's his opinion. Fine. You know, everybody lives in Tom Brady's world, you know, if you watch football.
Okay.
So, you know, but.
Okay.
But that was the only play they needed to make, and it was enough to.
Right. They made the right one. Made the right play.
Yeah, he made the right one. So yeah, he did it. So.
Well,
so that's just that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what was your? You didn't go to the sports bar to watch the game. Did you watch the game at home?
You gotta understand something. Now that since we're talking about that, now we're into entertainment, and I don't go to Super Bowl parties. And there's
no.
a few reasons why I don't go to Super Bowl parties, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the first reason I don't go to Super Bowl parties is because, hey, I have to go to work the next morning. That's the first reason. I've explained this to people. I mean, I'm a working man. I work a 9-to-5 job. So I have to go to work the next morning. So that's the first reason why I don't go. Now, if the game was on a Saturday or if it was on a Friday, I probably wouldn't go either because, see, the next reason why I wouldn't go to a Super Bowl party is because there's somebody at the Super Bowl party that hasn't watched football all season and is going to ask every question. They're going to ask every question. Why does the ref have that little yellow flag? Why do they have to wear stripes? How come all the shoes have to match? They can't wear their own shoes? Those are some pretty uniforms. Why do they have to wear those face masks on those helmets? I really have
to ask.
Somebody
had the nerve to say that was a pretty uniform.
I'm not making up any of this.
Mm-mm.
I'm not making up any of this. It is what it is. Now, Here's the next reason why I don't go to Super Bowl parties. A lot of y'all might think this is crazy, or y'all might not understand it, or y'all might wonder why I do the thing I do. Here I go. I don't go to Super Bowl parties for another reason, is because every time I've been to a Super Bowl party, you get a bunch of brothers there, a bunch of men there. I ain't got to just be your brother. You get a bunch of men there. Somebody got to show out for the couple of single women that's there. Next thing you know, there's a fight that breaks out. I've seen this happen over and over and over again at the Super Bowl party.
And then the fight started.
anybody that thinks I'm lying, I've lived through this. You have not. I've seen this happen. Maybe you haven't. When I say this happens, I've seen it happen. That's why I don't go to Super Bowl parties. And I'm not going to Super Bowl parties. And that's just what I just saw, but that's me. And those are my reasons why I don't go to Super Bowl parties. Now, a lot of people might not agree with this. I've seen it happen. I sat there and I watched all these things happen. But like I said, the main reason is that I got to go to work.
The shenanigans.
So,
right.
That's right.
The
and
shenanigans.
I can't be around the shenanigans. Because once they get out there and they get to drinking and yelling and arguing about football, and I seen two jokers getting to it, and neither one of their teams was playing. They were playing in the Super Bowl. They started arguing about what team could be who, and next thing I know, they rolling around on the floor wrestling. So
that's a shame.
Well, I mean, and this is why I stopped going to Super Bowl parties. And I used to go, I used to go just at halftime, you know?
Right. When it was good. I don't know what that mess was they was trying to show this year. I don't even do that.
I just pretty much, I stay home, stay to myself, and watch the game in the bed, get ready and go to work the next morning, and that's just that. So it is what it is. That's me and Super Bowl. That just summed it up. I hope I just summed it up for everybody. Switch the speed. Yeah, switch the speed. No,
what
I'm
you
think, so Cleon? Serious. Well, I don't know what Cleon. I think he got the mute button on tonight. I know he watched the game.
He had some choice words.
Speaking of that, the Gillespie Jinx, which swept Facebook, almost was a hashtag. It almost was trending at one point. The Gillespie Jinx of 2017 was where I would pick a team to win and that team would lose. This went on, and I'm not making this up. For those of you that are listening, I am not making this up. This probably happened 90% of the time in 2017. It happened for the world. It started actually with the World Series.
Shame.
That's when it started, you know. It started with the World Series, and it just kept going. And next thing I know, in 2016 it started with the World Series, and it just moved on into 2017. And next thing I know, it's college football. Everything. I couldn't pick a game to save my life. I was purposely picking the University of Miami to lose so they would win. And it worked every time. And then I
know people learned how to bet.
I picked them to win that they should have won, what do? They end up losing at the end of the season. So
that gonna show you what happened in them hurricanes.
I had people in my, and I just say it now, I mean, I never said it back then, but I had people in my inbox asking me what was I picking so they would know to pick the other way so that they can they can win money on a bet. See, seriously, I'm not making, and these were people I barely even knew. I would constantly get inbox messages. I mean, I was getting 10, 15, sometimes 20 of them with people showing me their betting cards. I'm like, man, I'm not answering this. I'm not getting dealing with this mess. I mean, they showing me betting card, illegal betting slips, everything. I'm like, and I just would not respond to them. I would not respond. I would go on there and publicly and just pick a game or two, like I always do. And next thing I know, I got 30 comments on there talking about, but we know who to bet on now and all of that. So No, I did not inbox anybody. No, I did not use it for personal gain or try to make any money. And no, I did not gamble on sports. I don't gamble on sports anyway. I think a lot of sports is corrupt and shit anyway.
It's rigged.
And that's just my personal. My personal.
It's all rigged.
I just believe
I
it's
hope
all
everybody
rigged
was
up.
Happy with it. I just hope they enjoyed the game and were ready to, you know, move on to the next season. Now, you know what I want to know? He sat out a whole season. He sat out a whole season. Are we going to continue this? I think the boycott is defunct. I think everybody done backslid on their commitment to Stanford or to kneel. I don't even think they went down on one knee. Nobody kneeled at the Super Bowl. Everybody was standing front and center for the flag,
well,
for the national anthem. Then nobody go give Colin his props at the Super Bowl. That wasn't even an issue on the table. You think they had some pressure?
Guess what?
What?
The police killings just stopped also.
Say what?
The police killings just stopped also. The police killings.
Well, that's good.
They stopped
that's
also.
True.
So
it was effective. It worked.
So I look at it this way. Whether it was effective or not, I can't say that. And some of those, you got to look at everything on an individual case-to-case basis. So I'm not going to sit up here and just generalize one and not the other. So I'd have
right.
to just look at them all. But I think that Colin Kaepernick, his point got across, but I don't think, I personally don't think he'll ever play in the NFL again. A lot of it has to do with the boycott, and a lot of it has to do with his ability. So you got two things there. It does. I don't think he'll ever play again. I don't.
No?
I personally
well, he
don't.
Sat out for a season.
Nah.
And, you know, that's all it really takes. A season off, it's hard to come back after a season off now.
Yeah, you're right. I read an article where Jay-Z was the first artist asked to perform at the Super Bowl, and he declined.
Yeah. He turned him down, and then there was a little backlash because Justin Timberlake, we all remember Tittygate when Justin and Janet Jackson performed at the Super Bowl halftime show, and he exposed her on live national TV. So there was some kickback because he wanted to do a hologram of Prince. He wanted to have pay homage to Prince during the halftime show, and he got some kickback for that. They're like, real true Prince devotees were not having it. They didn't want it because it was commonly known that Justin Timberlake didn't like Prince and Prince didn't like him. That was common knowledge. He would always, like, punch, you know, jab at him publicly and make negative comments about him publicly. So the idea that he would put a hologram up of Prince to pay homage to him during the halftime show got a lot of people upset. But he didn't do it. They just put up a screen and, you know, projected the image like a video. They didn't have him like a holograph. And people were pretty, you know, pleased with that. I appreciate that because, you know, Prince was against that. He said that was, quote, demonic to do a hologram. He never wanted them to do that to his image. And he said that while he was alive, that he thought it was creepy, he thought it was weird, and he would never want them to do that to him after he passed away. So Prince won from the grave. He got at his wish. I wasn't really impressed with Justin Timberlake's halftime show anyway, so.
Like I said, Jay-Z was the first choice. Now he go the flip side of this, right? He was the first choice, and do you want him? Now he declined it, okay, and probably declined it because of the NFL, the boycott, and all that. But did
That's
they really
exactly
want
why.
Him up there? Did
no.
they really want him up there doing the song
no.
or the story? Okay.
No, they didn't. They didn't want Kendrick Lamar either. But, you know, Jay-Z, with this album he got, with the 444 album, you know, he's going hard. And he's really just, you know, they're really not ready. I think, you know, they try to say that we've come to a different place in this country where we can speak more freely. But the kind of truth that Kendrick Lamar and Jay-Z are telling right now makes white folks nervous. And I don't think they would have, I don't think that would have went over very well had he performed during the halftime show.
Yeah, because I mean, he was going to do the OJ, think about that. He was going to do the OJ song.
Oh my God. That would have been a mess.
Yeah, he's going to do the OJ song. And then his whole album is about telling black folks stop spending your money foolishly.
Yeah, stop making them rich.
You know, and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah. They really want him up there. I don't know. Interesting.
Well,
I thought maybe he could have used that platform for that. But then, you know, I think all we would have seen, we being in our community, would have been like, man, I can't believe this man ain't boycott the NFL. When half of Noah sitting down there watching the game on Sunday. But I ain't going to get into that. So
I definitely won't get into that.
But what about
Philly native? Did you see Kevin Hart? Now, I watch the blogs and I watch, you know, online news and stuff. Did you see how Kevin Hart was cutting up at that doggone game? Kevin Hart cut the whole pool at the Super Bowl.
The reports are saying he was drunk. He was a damn mess.
He was past drunk. He was trying to get down there on the field with the players. Everybody knows that unless you are part of the organization, you are not allowed on the field. He was pushing his way through 7 foot tall old lineman from the 80s who was pushing him back like, no, Kevin, you're not coming down here with us tonight. Not tonight.
Yeah.
He was a mess.
Yeah. Then he got up and he cussed on live TV.
Yeah, he did. He went down there to the stand and he dropped the F-bomb, right?
only going to make him more popular.
I'm done with Kevin Hart. I used to be a big Kevin Hart fan. Not so much anymore. With the whole Inigo gate and, you know, cheating on his pregnant wife just turned me off. I haven't really been, you know, feeling him since that whole story came out. Remember that story a couple months ago? He got caught in Miami messing with some chick.
He's human. I mean, come on. He's human, man. Ain't nobody above making mistakes. So I ain't gonna get him for that. But I will get him for acting a fool at the Super Bowl.
He really did cut a whole fool.
For acting a fool at the Super Bowl. I mean, I put that right up there with riding motorcycles on Martin Luther King's birthday. We're going to go to a short commercial break. We're going to see if we can get Cleon on here. It's getting close to the 30-minute mark. We're going to come up with this entertainment report that Celebration got. We're going to talk about just a few other things. And definitely talk about Dwayne Wade coming back to South Florida.
Yes, sir.
We'll be right back.
Hey. What's the song? Remember that? Hey.
All right, we're back. We're back. We live on the line, everyone. We are back. Dwayne
Wade. And we're back. He's home.
Back.
He's coming
in
home.
South Florida. Wade.
That's
D. Well, you know what? They ought to have a statue of D. Wade out there in front of the building. I mean that. There should be a statue, start a petition to have a statue.
Of
D-Wade.
D-Wade. It's the Wade County, baby. He's coming back. We were just talking about we knew it was coming. We were in the green room talking about we knew it was bound to happen, you know. It was going down. It was in the air. I think they were whispering about it a little bit. Hence the whisper song. They were whispering a little bit about it earlier in the year that he may end up coming back to Miami. And it's official. He coming home. It's going to be on. You think we're going to get another championship with D-Wade back home?
Listen, I don't think so. I'm not one of those. No. I'm not a homer. I'm not a delusional fan. But the fact that D-Wade is back tells me that you can take your kids down there and you can let them see him and say, listen, that man right there, when he played, he was the greater.
Yeah.
And that's all I want to do. I just want to take my son down there.
So you think he's the greatest of all time? He is the GOAT as far as you're concerned? D-Wade
is
the GOAT?
He is the greatest player to ever come out of South Florida in anything. That's high school, pro, college, anything.
Mm-hmm.
He is from South Florida, he's the best ever. Ever. There ain't never been nobody better than Wade. So, you know,
hey.
I'm happy he's back. I mean, those were 2 years of, how many years LeBron was there? Four? Them little 4 years with LeBron James, you know, that was cool. But D-Wade was always the man. He always will be the man. So, once again, I am not a Heat fan. I will be predicting Heat games. I don't care nothing about no jinx. Wade
the jinx is over. The jinx has been lifted, so, you know.
He going to play in the game tomorrow.
Oh. He playing in the game tomorrow? That soon?
Yeah, man.
What?
Yeah, you're going to play tomorrow. You're going to play tomorrow night, so. Those of y'all
come
that bought that cheap ticket, somebody bought a cheap $20 ticket, boy, and they going to be able to sell that ticket for about $150. This boy.
Hello.
Look here.
Like
now,
the
you
stock
know
went
that
up.
Price.
Stock went up. They bought it. It's about to be back thick over there in the arena to go see D. Wade. Well, we're glad he's back. I'm surprised he's already back on the court, though. Like, at least let the man unpack. Like, can he, like, take a nap or something? Why he got to go right to work? He should get one sick day.
Nah, man. He got the day off. He don't need no. That's D-Wade, baby. D-Wade don't need no days off. All right, well, we're going to switch speeds for a second because I can talk about D-Wade all night long. We're going to switch speeds.
Yeah.
We're going to let Celebration have the floor with this entertainment report. I'm waiting on it, so let's
ooh,
see it. Let me hear
she here. In the words of Tiffany Haddish, she ready. What's up, y'all? It's Celebration. I know you haven't heard from me in a while. I've just been chiming in with the fellas talking about all them good old sports stories. So, hallelujah, I am back. First, I want to talk to you about the Grammy Awards. We didn't get a chance to chop it up last week about the Grammys. And we kind of alluded to it a bit when we were talking about Jay-Z in the Super Bowl. But Kendrick Lamar shut it all the way down. I don't know if you watched the show, but you can certainly catch it on YouTube. Kendrick Lamar is an amazing performer. I saw him live at the American Airlines Arena in September, and the show was phenomenal. He brings so much different flair and artistry, and just he's real hip-hop. If you're looking for a real hip-hop artist, Kendrick Lamar is definitely that, and I think he missed Album of the Year just by a hair to what's our friend's name, 24 Karat Magic, Bruno Mars, who, you know, I was super impressed with because he tapped my girl, my Bronx babe, Miss Queen Barty, Cardi B, got a chance to perform with Bruno Mars at the Grammys, and it was nothing but a party. Did you see that? Did you see their performance?
Yeah. It was
a total throwback. It was like a throwback to In Living Color, because that's the music that they use, that they sample in the song. But all the colors, all the dances, Bruno went in, and it was a great show to watch. Azalea Banks, not, is it Azalea Banks? Iggy Azalea. Iggy Azalea, yes, was seen that night. You know, Azalea Banks is probably turning over in her grave right now that I confused her with her arch nemesis. But Iggy Azalea is coming back with a new album, and as I mentioned earlier, Azalea Banks, who happens to be a young black female artist, is always going in on artists who are getting more shine, much like Monique, you know, a little salty, a little bitter. But anywho, Iggy Azalea,
tell them why she's bitter, though. Some people might not know why she's bitter.
Well, she's bitter because she feels that Iggy Azalea is just a stat. She's like a doll. She's like a build-a-rapper babe. She feels like nobody, that she does not write her own rhymes, and that she gets accolades when she shouldn't. They were in competition with each other for Billboard, and then she swept everything with her, talking about Iggy Azalea. She swept everything with her number one single. I can't remember. I'm so fancy. Yeah. So because she outshined Azalea, she's been throwing shade ever since. That's what I think it is. I think she feels like the black community embraces Iggy Azalea more than Azalea Banks, and she feels like abandoned. But I don't know. I don't think she performs better than Iggy Azalea. I don't know. I don't really get into them young girls like that. No, well, those type of young girls. I'm really not into that argument. What you think?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the better rapper?
Man, I don't know. I don't listen to that garbage. But I mean, seriously, I don't know. I don't know. Where the girl from? Australia? The other one, she's from Australia.
She's from Australia.
Right?
Yeah, she tells this whole story about coming up hard in Australia with the koala bears and stuff. And then
I give
her
credit.
She
give her credit. She got talent. Yeah, she got talent. But I ain't, you know, like I said, please. There ain't no MC Light. If you can't be MC Light rapping, I don't want to hear from you no more. I don't even want to listen to
you. Or Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
Queen got some nice flow. I wanted to also mention Miss. I talked a little bit about her when we were comparing her to Iggy Azalea and Azalea Banks. But that damn Monique, can somebody please snatch her mic? What is the problem?
But I dug a little deeper into this. There was Netflix was kind of trying to play her. Did you see the contract? She posted the contract.
Oh, I didn't see the post of the contract. I just heard her talk about it in great detail.
Yeah, she posted the contract. And the contract basically would have made it where whatever jokes she told on Netflix, she could not tell those jokes for another 2 years. And if she wanted to do another special, listen to this. And if she wanted to do another special, she had to negotiate with Netflix first, and she couldn't accept more than whatever Netflix offered. Basically, they were trying to control her whole career. Basically,
oh,
so
my goodness,
I could see what she was saying. Now,
now that she's shown us the contract and she showed us the deal, her frustration is warranted. You know, I get it. But does she have to throw everybody under the bus along the way? She really irritated me last week when she threw Will Packer, because you know that's the homie. You know what I'm saying? Like, would you do that? You know, Will Packer didn't write that contract for Netflix. Netflix wrote that contract for you and Netflix. Why you got to out Will Packer like he did you dirty? Will Packer made a lot of movies and put a lot of people on, and she was part of that group. The Dave Chappelle contract was epic, because when Dave Chappelle left, you know, the Illuminati was trying to get Dave. And he tells everybody the truth. He don't try to hide that whole situation. He said they wanted him, and he refused. He gave them their money, and he went to Africa and said, I'll be back at some point. So when he came back, his deal with Netflix was a bit sweet. Let me see. Do you know the details? Because he had like four, he had four shows on Netflix, and I think he got what did he get, like $50 million for it, I think? I think he got like $50 million in his contract. Yeah, so that Dave Chappelle, I give him much respect because he walked away from a deal that was like with the devil, literally. It was worth $55 million. Well, I researched him on the ball tonight. Look at you pulling up facts.
Yeah. I'm saying because that's crazy. That's just crazy how they want to just take her whole career basically.
They wanted to control her, but I think that's heading back to when she first broke out as like a major artist, when she got her Oscar for her role in Precious. Like they wanted to control her from them. Oh, Dave Chappelle was for $60 million. Yeah, it was $60 million. All right, yeah. But I think they were trying to get her into their fold back then when they let her get an Oscar, you know. So they felt like they were going to be able to control her career from that point on. And she's been fighting since she got that Oscar. She's been fighting battle after battle after battle because she don't want to cave to their demands, you know.
Yeah, that's just crazy. When she posted that, I was like, what in the world? And, yeah, man, they were trying to control her.
Yeah, that was terrible. That was a bad deal. That's a bad deal. Speaking of bad deals, have you seen Quincy Jones and what Quincy Jones did this week?
I mean, stealing all of the mess from the 70s. I mean, who really wants to hear about this? Seriously.
Why would you call?
I mean, really. Do you have to tell Marlon Brando and Richard Pryor? I don't believe that. I'm sorry. I just don't. Man, I don't believe that. Come on, man.
Well, okay. Let's take a step back and let's look at the situation for what it was. There was a time when Richard Pryor was on a whole lot of drugs. Remember, he was really bad.
True.
So you know, I have seen what people do out of desperation. And sometimes.
Here go my question. Mm-hmm. Man, I don't believe that mess. Here go my question. How Quincy Jones know? How he know? Was he there?
Because he wanted a head. He might have been.
Did he see
it? Never know. I don't know, but he sure enough telling. He telling like he was in the room.
So I don't know.
They said that the same thing happened to Quincy Jones in Tupac. Somewhere in some of those old articles back in the day, they said that Quincy Jones, took advantage of Tevin Campbell and LL Cool J. And then right around the time, Tupac and Kidada started their relationship, they said that Quincy Jones asked Tupac to, you know, do him, and that was a big time rumor. There was all over the blogs and stuff. And well, at that time there were no blogs, but they were reporting it in magazines that he asked Tupac to break him off one.
Now, you believe that? I don't believe none of that.
Anymore. You know what? I believe it's true. And I believe that Tupac told him he would rather do anything else in the world than that. He would never. I think Tupac was the one that said it, that he did that. And he said, heck, nah, I'm not doing that. Yeah. So, you know, they're saying that Quincy Jones has strong ties to the Illuminati. And this is part of their culture of what they do. So what do you think? Like, do you think it's such a thing as the Illuminati, or is that just something that people make up as an excuse for why people are successful?
Well, on this show, maybe 2 years ago, Cornell said it best. He said it best. He said, well, if there's a such thing as the Illuminati, put me in it because everybody in it is rich. So,
Oh, no.
That's what Cornell, those are Cornell's words.
All money ain't good money now. I ain't going to sell my soul for a dollar bill. I love money as much as the next person, but the stuff they're talking about, they have to do to be in that group, ain't no way. I'd rather be broke forever than to have to do that.
Well, you don't know if that stuff true. Like I say, you don't know if that stuff true, man.
It's too many reports, and they're all consistent with what the rituals are and how it happens and why it happens. And as a matter of fact, I'll tell you this one jewel, this one little piece. Back in like 2002, 2003, I was in contact with Baby Bam from the, what's that group's name? He is Africa Bambaataa's nephew, and he was in the Jungle Brothers. That's the name of the group. He was Jungle Brothers group, and he had heard some music that we were working on, or a piece that we had done, and he reached out, and we ended up meeting and hanging out, and all of that. So he described the ritual initiation, and he said that it is true. He said that he went through it and he saw it firsthand, and it's the most awful thing in the world. And just recently, Africa Bambaataa was outed by, you know, some of the young men he had living in his home in New York that he was routinely, you know, taking from them. So I've had a firsthand account of what they do. And he told me this. Consequently, I have not seen or heard from him in years, but he was really messed up, real bad.
What?
And I don't think he was making up stories. I think what he was saying was the truth.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know. Not to turn this into a...
Illuminati show.
Yeah, we ain't trying to turn this into no Illuminati show, but like I said, Cornell is the one that said that, not me, ladies and gentlemen.
He might want to rethink that, because that's too much right there. That's way too much.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know. So... And it is what it is. Well, moving right along, we got to switch seats one more time, right back to sports. Before we go tonight, the last 10 minutes, I don't know if any of you all saw it, but their signing day was yesterday, everybody. So shout out to all the young men that signed go to whatever college they decided to go to. There was a young man in Pensacola. Pensacola, Escambia. Did you see it?
Yes, I did. You know, I saw that.
Well,
I was crying laughing.
He had three hats up there: Tennessee, Alabama, and the University of Florida. It was his time. You know, they do all the brouhaha and all of the pomp and circumstance and all the other food. You know what? Let me just say this. The mighty, mighty St. Thomas Aquinas Raiders do not allow that. Before you get up there, if you play for Aquinas, there's no let's pick a hat and let's see what. Nah, they don't do that at St. Thomas, ladies and gentlemen. You better know what you got, or you are not allowed to have that stage, because foolishness like this will occur. And this is what happens when you do this right here. He had three hats up there. And he decided on the University of Florida hat. Puts the hat on. His mama. And let's talk about the daddy behind him with the new wife. Did you see the daddy with the new wife? That was
the wife?
Itself. Oh yeah. That was the daddy back there with the blue wife. Now see, we ain't gonna even
get that.
And
they were happy. They were happy.
Oh yeah.
They was happy about
oh,
that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he decides he's going to Florida.
But what
he
the mama had
Florida.
On?
Florida. The mama was Alabama Crimson Tide down to the floor with a Tennessee
yes.
skull cap on. So,
she was like anything but Florida.
She basically had her 66% chance and comes out, she ends up and craps out and loses because the boy picked
Ooh.
Florida. So she gets up and walks out.
You saw her snatch her bag and shove the lady out of her way so she could walk off.
She did the black woman snatch the bag, walk across the front, and fired off. And
Mama was not happy about that choice. Oh no.
Then the boy.
And it seemed like that's what Daddy wanted, him and his new wife. It seems like that's really why she wanted anything but what they wanted. Mm-hmm.
Daddy and the new wife was happy, and the mama ran off. That came back later on. Let me give her just due. She came back later on and gave the boy a hug, and they both started crying. So let me get that to her. I got to give her that. But I'm going to say this right here, and this is what I think, and this we can end the show with this tonight. Whenever I see stuff like this, and I see parents that are so gung-ho about their kids going somewhere, and I see they all break down and stuff.
I'm an athlete.
I'm gonna say this. I really believe. Can he turn that down, please?
He's
like I'm in the
that.
Damn game. I'm just going to call a foul. Okay, thank you. The first thing and the only thing that I think is you didn't get that paycheck. That's why you mad.
Okay.
And I really believe that. And I believe she lost out on some money, and I believe Daddy got some money. I really do. I really, really do.
Ooh.
And I'll never be able to prove it, and I would hope they would never admit to it. But I really believe that.
Right.
You think she lost some money?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they paid her without the signature first. That's what I don't think. Well, it looked like Cleon has a bad connection. But we're going to... Yeah, he got a bad connection. Well, we're going to have to go ahead and end this tonight. Cordell, I hope you get that contract worked out, brother. You know, it ain't always the same without you. It was another great night. We definitely talked about it. Like I say, Quincy Jones is the quintessential snitch of all time. The biggest snitch on earth. I've never seen another. That's ridiculous.
Why would you say that? Even if it was
why?
True, why would you put that out there?
He's a grown man, old man. Why? He might be senile.
84. He's 84 years old.
He might be senile. You know.
Yeah. Well, he need to slow down and have several seats because that was just terrible.
Yeah, he needs to have several seats.
Multiple.
That don't make no sense at all. None whatsoever. Hey. Everybody, we want to thank y'all for tuning in with us tonight. I know it was a little slow tonight, even with the Super Bowl, but we'll be back ready to run next week. I'm sure I have some stories about Dwayne Wade for y'all. So, everybody, again, thank you for tuning in. I know this is not Sports Dogs, but we ain't trying to be Sports Dogs, right? Who cares about Sports Dogs? Who cares about it? Well, I know. I'm hating. But again, everybody, y'all have a wonderful night. Hey, man, hit me with some of that Nas, man. We ain't heard Nas in a minute on here. Don't let people forget who one of the greatest rappers in the history of rap is from Queensbridge, baby. Y'all just remember that. I had a boy tell me Ball Greasy was better than Nas. Man, let me get out of here.
Oh,
yeah.
Yo, all I need is one mic, one beat, one stage, one nigga front, my face on the front page. Only if I had one gun, one girl, and one crib, one God to show me how to do things the sun did. Pure, like a cup of virgin blood, mixed with 151, one sip will make a nigga flip. Writing names on my hollow tips, plotting shit, mad violence, so I'm gon' body this hood, politics acknowledge it. Leave bodies chopped up in garbages, seeds watch us, grow up and try to follow us, police watch us, roll up and try knocking us. One knee I duck, could it be my time is up? With my luck, I got up, the cop shot again. Bus stop glass burst, a fiend drops a Heineken. Ricocheting between the spots that I'm hiding in. Blacking out, I shoot back, fuck getting hit. This is my hood, I'm a rap to the death of it. So everybody come on, little niggas is grown. Hood rats, don't abortion your wound. We need more warriors soon. Sit from the stars, sun and the moon. And it's like a police chase, the street sweepers and coppers. Sick up kids with no conscience, leaving victims with doctors. If you really think you're ready to die, when nine's out, this is what nine's about. Nigga, the time is now.
All I need is one mic. All I need is one mic.